Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Greetings and welcome back to another edition of Speaking Insights. I'm your co-host, Des Thornton, and I'm joined by
Kelly Vandiver, incoming president.
And we are delighted to be back with you today. We have a special treat for you, as always. We switched the format. Typically, we have two guests on our show, but today, our guest is so large and accomplished in stature that this man can fill the entire time slot himself. So I'm delighted to introduce to you Mr. Waldo Wallman, CSPCPAE. Welcome to the show, sir.
Great to be here. Des and Kelly.
And today we are very much interested in hearing your journey from a decorated fighter pilot to a decorated speaker. many people wouldn't think those two things go together, so hopefully you can bridge that gap for us. I'd like to start you off with a softball question and ask, where did the name Waldo originate?
Well, in 1986 at the Air Force Academy during basic training, we went out to Jack's Valley, where you spent half of the time at the academy doing, you know, marching, all basic fundamentals of decorum, and then you spend a few weeks in the field learning, you know, more military combat-related activities and assault course, et cetera. So we came back from the obstacle course one day, and then and it was basic cadet Waldman, and then the flight commander, was the senior, firsty, really big sense of humor. He said, Waldo Waldman. That's your new name, Waldo. Where's Waldo? So it stuck there, and then it's pretty funny. And then as a pilot, you have to earn your call sign. So if you want the call sign, you normally don't get it. But if you've been in combat or have been in two major commands, you normally get your call sign that you want. And it also involves a lot of alcohol and embarrassment. That's it, quick and dirty.
Wow. Well, I was always curious, so I figured I'd take this opportunity to find out about that. So in terms of the speaking business and transitioning here, who or what attracted you to the speaking business? How did you go from a fighter pilot to the speaking industry?
When I left the military, it was the toughest decision of my life to leave and do something in the business world. I love to be creative. I have the left brain, right brain thing going. I love working with people. So after 11 years, they had that go, no-go decision, stay in, get out. I made the tough choice to get out, got my MBA. And then I wanted to go in sales. My whole family's in sales. I'm from New York. I love to talk. I love people. I worked in a couple different sales positions, one in technology sales for a foreign company in defense contracting. And then after 9/11, I went into merger and acquisition consulting. My twin brother and the CEO were friends of mine, so I did that for a few years, cold calling, earning $0 to $30K a month for wow. And I was doing very well. And then I started working for a seminar company, a team building company called Afterburner there here in Atlanta. I was selling for them for 3 months, and then I went out and did my own thing. Things didn't work out with us financially and all that, and a year and a half later, I started doing my own thing and learned the business that way. So took a risk, and here I am.
Wow. So what was your first couple of years like in the speaking business? I know it may be hard to narrow that down to a word or two, but when you think back to getting started, obviously you already had some business experience, but what was the first couple of years like on your own and building this brand that we've come to know today?
So, I always believe in earning your wings. You've got to get a mini PhD or so in this business before you start out. So it was all about understanding the business, learning the industry, joining NSA Georgia, being part of a group of people who understood the business and who were speaking. So NSA was a really important part of that. And then getting together with like-minded individuals who had the experience and had the credibility that I aspired to have as a speaker and learning from them. And it took a lot of time. What I did for the first 2 or 3 years was I was in sales in my one job as a merger and acquisition consultant in sales. I did that from 7:30 to 6, hit the gym, had dinner, and then from 9 to 1 or 2 in the morning, literally every night, learning the business, crafting marketing materials, studying other speakers, coming up with a good tight one-hour keynote, which has evolved over the years. It's still evolving today. So it was scary and fearful, but I think you overcome your fear when you prepare, when you put the time in, and you feel confident in the tools that are available to you. So you just can't motivate your way to success in the speaking business. You have to understand the business and get your feet dirty, and it takes sweat and sacrifice and a lot of pensive thinking and a lot of dark nights and fearful nights because I borrowed money from my parents to pay my mortgage a couple of times. It was not easy.
Wow.
But I was confident because I was studying and prepared, and I went out there and worked it.
Wow. Well, I definitely appreciate you talking about speaking insights. I appreciate you sharing that because a lot of times people don't see the struggle that goes in initially. You know, it's kind of like when you see a skyscraper. Many people see this illustrious glass building, but they don't see the blueprints and the sweat and everything that went into starting it. So I appreciate you sharing that. You mentioned that you had an MBA. So I'm curious to know, just in terms of for our listeners, what would you say would be the difference between a brick and mortar business and the speaking business? You know, is there any distinction that sticks out to you?
Well, the fundamentals for building an entrepreneurial business like being a speaker are the same as IBM or Home Depot or, you know, H&R Block. You need fundamental practices in place, solid website, solid value proposition. You need a good business card. You need to know how to sell. You need credibility and a team. All those fundamentals are there, and I think when you look at all the speakers out there who are doing these $1 million speaker boot camps and blah blah blah, yeah, you can make $1 million. You can make $1 million in this business in a year, but people need to learn how to make $50,000 or $100,000 first,
right?
Before they do that. So you know, my MBA was important, and it built credibility in the business world. But nothing was more important than just the sweat equity and the time that I put in learning the business. And it's the fundamentals. That's what I think especially beginning speakers need. And also, I have to remind myself about that every day as well. You can't focus so much on social media and all those other things. I pick up the phone. I send handwritten letters. I'm constantly crafting my skill, always improving the product. The product being the 1 hour or the half hour seminar that's powerful, that's engaging, that's content filled. You know, people are worrying about the shiny look of their car of speaking, the color of the paint and how it's waxed. But meanwhile, the engine and the tires are pretty weak.
Wow.
Work on the engine. Everything else is will come.
Great metaphor from a great speaker.
Well, Waldo, when you think about all the one thing that I've learned in this business is there is no silver bullet, and I'm going to guess you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
But what were the confluence of factors that came together, whether that was circumstances or opportunities or things that you invested in to grow yourself and grow your business? What were the several things that had to come together that made it work for you?
I'll tell you really the fundamental. You know, I went to a speaker seminar, what's her name, the Dottie Walter Speaker Boot Camp. When I learned it, I studied the industry, I found out what seminars are going on, and it fell into my lap, Dottie Walter Speaker Boot Camp. I did my research, I showed up, I met Martha Lanier, past president of NSA Georgia, I think in 2007, before I was president. I met her in the parking lot, we became great friends, and I got two programs, one that had all the stuff filled in, and I grabbed an extra one there because I knew I would need some of the information. How to do a one sheet. How to sell, how to work with speakers bureaus, all these fundamental things, stuff that's kind of antiquated now from a marketing technology standpoint, but you still need the same things. That program was critical. I modeled it. I didn't mimic. I modeled. And a lot of speakers need to understand that. You can model success. Just don't mimic it, you know. And so So I just took that and I came up with a nice little business card. My company name was first the Patriot Group. It's very patriotic. Then I went to Waldo Speaks, and then I became the wingman because that's what I talked about. And I got that idea of how to be of your wingman. I didn't come up with that. I talked about wingman, but Ed Rigsby, who's a very senior NSA member, he came and saw me speak. I always reached out to other NSA members when I was speaking in their city. I said, come see me. Can I buy you lunch? I would really, really appreciate it. I asked for help. And he showed up, and we went to dinner. He's like, Waldo, good job. You know, I basically stunk. You know, here I am my first year or two. And he gave me some great advice. And he's like, Walter, you talked about the wingman stuff, but, you know, you named the company's Patriot Group, and, you know, I don't get it. And I'm like, well, yeah, I tried to get the URL wingman, and it's already taken. You know, that's as far as I knew about how to build a brand, right? And he's like, well, wait, you're the wingman. You're everybody else's wingman. Why not look at your wingman? You're the wingman for your clients. Sure enough, I Googled it. I went on GoDaddy, bought the URL, and then evolved the brand from that. So the message is this. Sometimes you can come up with a brand, an idea, a philosophy, a way of doing business. But when you share it with somebody else, in particular with experience, who's been through the trenches, who you respect, they may give you that vector necessary to build and evolve your business or your brand. So my brand, my speaking, is a byproduct of people I get, of NSA Georgia, the people that I met. Yes, of my sweat equity and the time I spent on the internet and studying and researching and practicing, but it is a, you know, a whole conglomeration of all different factors that are involved. It's not one particular thing, but you got to be involved in many areas. But I really, really, really believe that other than your own personal effort, it's the others around you who are going to give you that advice, that direction, that drive that you need to take the action necessary to succeed in any business. I don't care if it's a franchise or a speaking business.
Right, and I guess that points directly to the importance of NSA Georgia, you know, being the speaking community to offer that support for people like yourself, and now you being in a position to give back to others is certainly helpful. It's benefited both Kelly and myself and others as well. So for those of you who are out there listening and thinking about coming to NSA Georgia, or even if you've been to NSA Georgia before, stay involved and stay connected, because as one of the most experienced people in the industry just said, you know, one of the most important things is having that connection to this type of group and this type of organization. Waldo, I'd also like to ask you, at what point did you feel like you had your feet up under you, if there is such a thing, when you felt that, okay, I'm here, I got this thing down, I know I have to continue to grow it, but where you felt solid, where you could support yourself and your family in the business?
You know, I'd probably say three or four years into the business, I was doing pretty well. I broke six figures. I was speaking 50, 60 times a year. I was pretty fortunate. But, you know, I always say, the more you sweat, the less you bleed. So I knew if I can rely on myself to get out of bed, to do the hard work and make things happen. You got to be your own pilot every day. I eat my own dog food. When I talk about push it up and taking action and drive and belief, I have to do that every day. So, because I was so just absolutely magnanimously intense about building the business and I was relentlessly involved in it, I felt confident that I would do well. But every day, there's moments of fear and panic that go through me. Oh, I'm not getting booked and this and that. But a little bit of fear and a little bit of anxiety is important. It keeps you on your toes. Complacency kills. It kills fighter pilots in combat. It kills businesses and brands. If you don't show up, if you don't stay sharp, relevant, you're going to be eaten up. And there's competitors every day I'm seeing popping up, different speakers in the military, very credible speakers, great backgrounds that blow my background away. So I've got to say, ooh, wow, look at this guy coming up there. He's pretty darn good. Keeps me sharp, keeps me hungry.
Wow.
You have
great,
to do that. You know?
Great perspective.
Well, when we started today and Des introduced you, he put a couple of acronyms behind your name, CSP and CPAE.
Right.
I'd like to take a minute, and for the listeners that aren't familiar with those acronyms, share with us your journey to become a CSP, and then we'll talk about CPA in a minute.
So when I went to my first NSA convention, and I'm, you know, look, I'm a type A, intense guy. I like to work hard. You know, I'm 45 years old. I've been married only like 4 years. I dodged the marriage missile as long as I could. I was, you know, all about speaking, all about writing my book and all that. I didn't have time for relationships. I knew I needed to plant my feet on the ground. And for me, it was important to have my business and my financials in order before I can share with another my wife. And I'm really blessed to have a wonderful wife and my son, and I'm able to spend more time with them now, whereas before maybe I wouldn't have. So it's a blessing for me. I showed up at that first NSA meeting, Kelly. I heard about CSP. What's that? Oh, it's a certification. What's a certification? Oh, you need a certain amount of speeches and blah, 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 blah. Oh, I want that. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to show up. If you're going to be in the business, go for it all. Get the qualifications. Don't play halfway. And so as Jim Rohn says, I guess I'll paraphrase, it's not the result of what you do. It's what you become in the process of pursuing excellence. So even if I didn't get my CSB, and the folks that are listening here, even if you don't get your CSB, what does it make you become? You're learning more. You're trying to get more bookings. You're building the business. If you're in the business, go for the certification. And I want to be the best. You shouldn't be in this business unless you want to be the best, in my opinion. So I got the CSP, man, it was tough, but I'm like, all right, this is great. But I went and learned about it as early as I possibly could, and I learned the tools and techniques necessary to grow the business. And it was the coolest thing getting that. I think it was 2008. I think it was 6 years from when I started speaking. So that was really big. And then the CPAE obviously is a Council of Peers award for excellence. It's known as the Hall of Fame, and it's just a great accolade. But you don't decide to be a CPAE; your peers do.
Right.
So I was nominated from another speaker in NSA Georgia, Dan Thurman, which was great. But then you meet a board of like 10 or 15 other very experienced Hall of Fame speakers, and they review everything: your marketing, your brand, your content, the diversity of your deliverables, how you are on stage. And everybody gets rated, and it's a very stringent process. So I never asked to be a Hall of Fame speaker. I was shocked that I was nominated. I was even absolutely shocked when I got it. And I was glad, but, you know, when I found out that I got Hall of Fame speaker, the first thing that went through my mind was, I got to get coaching. I got to get better. And so I'm like, I felt like I'm just starting, and that's how I've always been. I've been in this business almost 11 years. I just feel like I'm hitting the stride. I am just, you ain't seen nothing yet. You know? Because I just know that's what I want to do. And I'm like, it's a perfect time in my life. And so I don't want to become complacent. But then again, it's important to have, you know, the work-life balance. You know, you hear people talking about that. But now I've got a great assistant who's just absolutely amazing, Mallory Amano. She's been with me a year and a half.
And tell everybody what you call her.
Wing ma'am.
Yes,
the
wing I love
ma'am.
That. Yep. I love that.
Client services wing ma'am. Everything I do is branded, by the way. Everything revolves around wing ma'am: trust, partnership, service, commitment, discipline, all the things that I learned in the military, but that I do in life. If you're out there speaking and you're not doing what you're speaking about and not doing from what's at your core of who you are, then you're missing the boat. People are going to sniff it out. People are smart these days. They're very perceptive into character, especially on that platform and what you do off the platform, like Chad Hymas said this week, and another amazing speaker. But I'm able to spend a little bit more time at home. You know, I talk about push it up, full power. Sometimes you got to pull it back at work and push it up in the home life, right? So I'm getting to the point in my life where it's not necessarily about making more money. We all can make more money, get more gigs. I'm like, you know, where do I want to be of value in my life? What legacy do I want to leave? The guy that spoke 110 times a year and made millions of dollars and wrote the books but had no home life and was a terrible dad? So I'm able to pull it back a little bit and spend more time at home, which is a blessing for me. And my wife, you know, she reminds me of that, and I made a commitment this year. I'm spending more time. I'm traveling more. However, when I do work, it's about focus. It's about having things in place and a plan and a process and having relentless discipline to follow through on that. That's a business fundamental. That's not philosophy. That's practical. That's life. So I'm very, very disciplined at home. I know I could be a lot more disciplined in the office, but I'm pretty darn disciplined. And part of that is also serving, contributing to NSA, showing up at the meetings, spending time on the phone at least once a week. There's another speaker who I spend 30, 45 minutes on the phone with, sometimes an hour, discussing the business and giving my wings away, what I call it. And I think in business and in life, a great success principle is lending the wings away, giving that value, showing each other how to succeed, and it comes back to you in so many ways. And that's NSA Georgia has been that way for me. People are very short-sighted, I believe. Well, I'm spending all this time giving. What's in it for me? What's the value I'm going to get? I'm sitting here on this radio interview. What's it going to be for me? Well, you know, sometimes the outcome isn't immediate, but sooner or later it's going to come at you. That's the way the energy of the world works. That's what I believe. And it's a real big part of my success. I live wingman. I don't just philosophize about it.
Wow. Hold on there. Let me ask you, you gave us a brief insight for those people who may be newer speakers or even for some of our seasoned speakers. So what is a day in the life like of Waldo Wallman, a CSP, CPAE, you know, in terms of what things do you sacrifice? Are there any lonely moments? I know you travel quite a bit. So what does that look like for a speaker, someone who's aspiring to be a speaker? You know, what is maybe a month like for you? Mm-hmm. Are you home, you know, maybe 20 days out of the month, 10 days out of the month? You miss your family? Do you Skype and all those types of things? Being that you have the military background, I'm sure you've experienced that before. As you just alluded to, you weren't married at that time. But what are some of those things like, just to give us a peek behind the curtain?
Roger that. Well, so my day, let's talk about the day. And the day starts the night before, actually before I leave the office. When I left the office yesterday on Monday, I knew what my plan was going to be for today. Wow. I checked off all the items. I had my plan. I felt confident. Okay, these are the things that I'm going to chop off. I'm going to make it happen. Boom, boom, boom. And so I leave. I go upstairs with a confidence that tomorrow I'm not going to be flying by the seat of my pants. I'm going to have vector and thrust, not all thrust and no vector, right? Attitude and action. You know, I have a direction. So the flight plan is set, puts me in the right mindset. So when I get up in the morning, let me tell you about my ideal day, which I try to do, say, 60, 75% of the time, because it's not always like that. I don't get that much sleep. I'm really, really, really working on it now because I'm getting old. I'm losing my memory because 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night for years gets to you. So let's say I'm in bed by midnight. I'm up by 7, 7:15, and then I like to hit the gym in the morning. I can't help it. I'm on Facebook. I'm putting out or social media a little bit. And then double checking some emails that came in. That's what I do. I probably shouldn't, but that's what I do. And then I have a little greens, maybe a couple sips of coffee, and then I'm in the gym. I'm getting my heart and lungs going. And when that happens, the endorphins start flowing. The brain starts working, and I'm thinking about things. I'm writing stuff down. Mallory, my assistant, I have a big home office. She's got her own office. I have a little kitchen area and thing, and then I have a nice office for myself. So her office is next to the gym, so I'm doing my workout. I'm like, Mallory, don't forget to contact so-and-so, and what about the press release, and so-and-so. So I'm barking orders. We're laughing. John, I'm walking in there sweating, giving her ideas. Because my mind is working. It's energized, okay? So it sets the tone for the day, and I'm able to have that energy throughout the day. And this is more and more important, especially for the folks, the old toes like me who are getting out there. You got to set the tone. You got to have that resilience and that energy throughout the day, because it'll help you become not only more effective in your day and getting things done, it will help you be more creative. And in our business, we need to be intellects. We're intellectual property guys. We have to be creative, new marketing ideas, philosophies, platform items, right? So I wrote my book in the gym. I wrote my book. I wrote my speech in the gym. If I brought my notebook to you on the little bike, the coming bike, I'd sit down and you could barely read my stuff, but I'm sitting there coming up with ideas. I got paper clippings of notes that I read from USA Today where I grabbed a piece of paper at the gym and I wrote this idea down. The psycho story about when I needed help. Boom. It was in LA Fitness in Smyrna, Georgia, 2002. And I still have the piece of paper and I have a whole box of stuff. It's my legacy. So the time is important. So that's where I get a lot of stuff done. So the book, The One Thing, Gary Keller of Keller Williams, he wrote a book, The One Thing. I highly advise anyone on this call, including you guys, to read this book. It's about focusing on that one thing upon which it is accomplished makes everything else easier, okay? The one thing. For some of us, it's the one thing is the keynote. I got to put together the one-hour keynote. For one of us, it's the demo video. Let me get that demo video done because it's the one thing, once accomplished, will make everything else easier, bring the leads in. The one thing was my book. How do I write the book? Oh, my goodness. Once I write that book, everything else is going to be easier. So my one thing now is online virtual reality training, the leadership program, taking my book and my content, putting that on a platform so that my clients will be able to take the content and learn from it. So I try to do something about that Lightspeed VT, the virtual reality training, the virtual training. That's very, very important. So, and then in the morning, a lot of the emails come in. We get a lot of the sales inquiries in the morning. And so we deal with all those in the morning. And then in the afternoons, normally it's creative time. It's phone call time. It's conference call time. I want to do the sales-related items in the morning and then the intellectual stuff and the other non-business-related items in the afternoon.
And can I ask a follow-up question on that? Now, they talk about rhythms and certain times of day are better for you and others. Right. So is that how you line? What is your strongest time of day when mentally you're just juiced?
Oh, that's a great question. If I don't hit the gym, my best time of day is going to be mid-morning, right? Right after lunch, I'm a little bit tired. Then I have a little. Then I get more energized. 2 to 4, 4 to 5, I'm like I'm dead. And maybe 5 to 6, I start ramping up again. But if I hit the gym, I'm pretty much on the whole time. Like yesterday, I had 3 conference calls and a webinar. The webinar was at 3 o'clock, I think it was at 3 o'clock. And I was pretty excited. I did pretty good on the webinar. I'm like, where's this energy coming from? Why? Because I set the tone in the morning. I hit the gym. I got my heart pumping. Everything counts in this business. You can't be lazy in your fitness and your health because it's just too much. And people don't realize that you're, like I said, your mind, the creativity, those components happen when you're in shape. It's just important for me. But I prefer to do the energized calls and the stuff that's really important in the morning. In the morning. Afternoon, my energy level in general will start dissipating. But many times before I have an important call and my energy is low, mm-hmm. I'll do calisthenics. I'll get my heart rate up, right? Those cycles, the circadian rhythm, whatever it is, you can artificially interrupt. And this is important, especially when I speak East Coast, West Coast, or whatever. People will see me outside the bathroom or a bit behind the stage in the big conferences. I'm doing push-ups and pull-ups, push-ups and calisthenics and wacky jacks from P90X. They're like looking at me, oh, this guy's pretty intense. I'm like, yeah. Because you didn't know that I've been on the road all darn week. You don't know that my kid's sick, that I got 4 hours of sleep last night. You don't know that I feel like garbage, and they don't care.
Right. Right.
Your
right.
job is to deliver.
Right.
And you're getting something different that professionals get that non-professionals don't get. It's called a paycheck.
Wow.
It's called cash. It's called your life and your lifestyle. So you better deliver.
I would definitely say that energy is important. For those of you listening, I'm sure you can feel the energy coming through. I certainly feel it right now.
And it's one of my deliverables. It's who I am. How good are you at being who you are? And I want that to show. And if you don't like energy, if you don't like a guy with a New York accent, if you don't like the things that I talk about, I am not your guy. And I'll share more about that philosophy here in a little bit. I call it my mint chocolate chip philosophy.
Okay, well, Waldo, what's that again?
It's my mint chocolate chip branding philosophy.
Mint chocolate chip. Got to get back to that one, definitely. as you said, we talked about the Your Wingman brand, and I know that you have that on your vehicle and on your license plate, so you're mm-hmm. definitely committed to it. And I would consider you one of the best branders, if there is such a word, in our industry. So could you share for us maybe one or two things that would be helpful for the beginning speaker as well as the experienced speaker who may already have a brand and maybe need to raise that brand to the next level?
Right.
What are some of the core ingredients that you feel go into that and have sort of translated to success for you?
That's a great question. So your brand evolves. As you evolve, your brand will evolve. So like I said before, I was Patriot Group and Waldo Speaks, and I talked about all these different things. My speech used to be called the leading edge, which was the front edge of the flap of the fighter jet. And then it evolved. And then I talked about trust and teamwork. But really my the ultimate word for me now, as I've evolved as a human being, as a business person, as a parent, as a husband, is commitment. And I got coaching. And this is really important, folks, because it's hard to see the picture when you're in the frame. Les Brown always says that, you mm-hmm. know, and I call it thinking outside the cockpit. When you're in the cockpit in your own thing, you can't see the reality of it. You often need others to give you the perspective. So I hire coaches for my speaking. I hired a business coach, Peter Winnick, recently. He's just a great guy. And we sat down, and it was an investment, a pricey investment for me. And we I decided, you know, where I just don't feel comfortable with my – the content is good, but I knew something was lacking. This is after my Hall of Fame speech, by the way, mm-hmm. Hall of Fame induction. And so we came up with commitment because I used to talk about commitment to excellence, being mission ready, which is about preparation, and teamwork through mutual support. But I changed my speech, the real content – to evolve about commitment, because that's who I am. Don't you guys think I'm pretty darn committed?
Yes. That's coming through, definitely.
Right.
So that's really the nuts and bolts of who I am. It's the sword. It's the diamond of content that resides not just in my head but in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I've been lucky that I have a fighter pilot background and you know all this good stuff, but there's a lot of military speakers out there right now.
Right.
But I've crafted the wingman philosophy from the military and flying jets and flying in combat and being shot at and overcoming claustrophobia and panic attacks and all the things that I did that most people don't know about that I discuss about the human spirit and the missiles of life and adversity and the wing moms and wing dads in my life who inspired me
right.
and the wing givers and check six, the people who got my blind spot, all those brands, the words, the vernacular. Goes back to me, it goes back to my brand of wingman, but more importantly, it goes back to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're the brand, Des. You're the brand, Kelly. You have to be the brand. And guys like Tony Robbins, the name is the brand. So you could come up with a fancy tagline like wingman or the pitbull of personal development, but ultimately you have to be the brand. And the brand stems from the core, the diamond, who you are. And many people try to build a brand on a shaky foundation. What I mean by that is they're BSing. They're not really being authentic to who they are. I was lucky because I had the military and all that stuff. I made some right decisions. And I guarantee I would have come up with another brand if it wasn't wingman, if I wasn't in the military. And I know it's a lot more difficult for somebody who doesn't have that background. But you got to take some time to really think about it. But back to what I said about Peter Winnick and hiring coaches. When you sit down with another person who asks you the questions, who delves into you, your background, your strengths, your passions, the brand will evolve. And you start thinking, oh, I never thought about that. I never thought about that. Yeah, yeah. I sat down and I was coaching another speaker who was having a lot of problems. And he was talking about all this philosophy. He talks about marketing, customer service, and sales. I'm like, look, what are you really, really good at? And he's really good at networking. That's his key. He's like a master. He could go in there and schmooze. He's just an ultimate schmoozer. And that's a skill. You know, you need good schmoozing and along with good business practices and a good speech. But so I said, why don't you really talk about I can't remember the – it's not networking, but it was another word, not influence. But there was some other phrase that we came up with. But it had to do with networking. And so he's like, you're right. That's what I'm good at. So I'm like, talk about that. How does networking and schmoozing build business and credibility? And we came up with this whole thing. So that's his focus. That's his diamond. And I'm not, you know, patting myself on the back for coming up with that, but it was him that came up with it. He just needed some prompting, some coaching, some really good questions. That's what NSA does. That's what happens when you sit down with other people. So I've been smart enough and fortunate enough to be able to ask for help, find the right people who can provide that perspective. That's how my brand has evolved.
And I've heard you speak about getting coaching before, and I know that you've done it throughout your career. What has been the thing, what do you look for when you're looking for a coach to making sure that that's the right coach
Wonderful.
For what
I
you need?
I don't want clones. I don't want somebody that's intense New Yorker, military guy. I want a Glenna Salisbury. I want a Lou Heckler. I want somebody very, very different that will provide an insight and perspective and make me think, yeah, you're right. I need that because I need diversity in my content just like because my crowds are very diverse as well. That being said, be careful taking your coach's advice as the word of God. Don't do this. I'm like, what? Are you kidding? 10% is plenty to take from a coach.
Wow.
20% if you're lucky. But don't take it as a word of God. You're in your mastermind groups. Everybody's mentioning this and that. Okay, great. Put it through your life filter, your practicality filter, and then maybe ask for some advice from some other people. And this is an important business concept in anything. You know, trust but verify in your life as well.
Yeah.
So don't take it as a word of God and be willing to make the investment. You're not sure if they're going to be the right fit. Well, maybe this is what I need. It doesn't feel right. Maybe it's worth it. talk to other people who've had those coaches. But there is no better coach, no better coach than a peer, somebody who has life experience. I don't like getting coaches from somebody 22, 25 years old, and they're speaking, they've been in the business, blah, 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 blah. There's some speakers I know who talk on leadership and business development. They graduated college, and now they're telling everybody about leadership. Well, where have you walked the flight line? What businesses have you led? What sales departments have you led? We're talking about success. Come on, get out there. Earn your wings, and if you haven't got out there and demonstrated excellence, I don't care whatever it is. If you're a relationship expert, make sure you've been married for a while. Or
had maybe divorced as well, right?
Whatever it is, right? So you got to find, you got to keep your sword sharp and get the content, and that's really, really important. Yeah, people smell that out really quick.
Very good.
Yeah, so Waldo, is there anything that when you look back over, I'll call it illustrious. I know that you may be too humble for that, but your illustrious career as a speaker from where I sit, is there anything that you would do differently? Is there one thing when you look back over that time and say, you know what, if I had to do it all over again, I would do that differently?
I have very little regrets. They always say it's not the things you do that you regret, it's the things that you don't do that you regret. Here's what I would have definitely done. I would have found a better assistant earlier. I went through a couple of assistants, but I would have went through the process a lot earlier. I didn't start looking for an assistant until halfway through my career, maybe 5 or 6 years in. And not just a part-timer, like a full-timer. Mallory is on time, on target. She's in the office. She's great. And I've had others and, you know, with me for 6 months or a year, and it didn't work out. And that's okay. You have to be willing to go through some wing nuts before you find a great wing man, right? And I'm not the easiest guy to work with. You can tell, you know, I'm demanding and commanding. You know, I like to be a commander, not a demander. But there are times when – and I've learned, I've evolved. And I with Mallory in particular, I have to – eat my own dog food. I have to ask her what's going on. I have to treat her with respect. I'm always asking for her input. I'm showing her appreciation. She's wonderful.
And being married, I can tell that marriage helps you with that, right?
Oh, goodness gracious. Without a doubt. Without a doubt.
Definitely.
And she's given me so much more time with my family as well, because she just does a great job. But so I definitely would have gotten an assistant a lot sooner. You know, that's my biggest thing. I really don't have too many darn regrets. I've been blessed. I speak 75, 85 times a year. I don't want to speak any more than that. I don't know how these guys do 120, 140 dates. Are you kidding me? That's like 85% on the road, because each date is basically there and back. I do not want to speak more than maybe 80 times a year. I'd ideally like to speak 50 times a year and with a really good fee, and then do all my other stuff, you know, virtual and online leadership training for revenue, et cetera, and do some seminars, maybe do some public, you know, coaching, speaking coaching. I see myself doing that for fledgling speakers in the future and even experienced ones. But other than that, I can't say I have that many regrets.
Wow.
I really don't.
Well, we have a few more minutes, about 8 more minutes okay. left. And so I'd like to get your insight on just the industry at large, the speaking industry. Obviously, you've been around for 10 years in the speaking business. And so I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes, especially with the economy and technology and all those types of things. So from where you sit, if I'm a beginning speaker or even if I'm a seasoned speaker, when you look out on the horizon, where do you see the speaking industry going, and is it still a good place for people to come and, you know, make income to be able to support them, their families, or either get their message out to a particular audience?
I definitely think the speaking industry is going to be around for a very long time. The core, we're all human beings. They're fundamental. We need the motivation. We need the eye-to-eye, face-to-face, heart-to-heart interaction. You just can't get that from a video at a conference. They need that. They need that live action. And so I really believe the speaking industry is important. And that live action could be via a webinar and all that stuff. You know, just like this is live, right? This is we're not flying by the seat of our pants. This is happening for real. So I think the speaking industry is going to be around. And you heard me say this word before, and I'll say it again. You have to be relevant. Relevance is key. You have to adapt to the environment that you're in from a client perspective, from an industry perspective, from an economic perspective, from a demographic perspective. I tie in certain things when I'm speaking in Oklahoma a lot differently than I do in Boston or in New York. It's different when I speak to a bunch of IT managers or an NFL football team like the Denver Broncos, who I spoke for a couple months. A lot different than I'm going to speak for tomorrow when I speak for 800 sales reps for LexisNexis Risk Solutions. So relevance with your content, up to date, fresh, that's applicable to the client and the audience is important, but also relevance with what's going on in the world today. Social media and generational difference is a big deal right now. Generations, it's changing. You know, we got a lot of different people in the audience. You need to know who they are. So drawing that in is very, very important too. But nothing's going to ever take the place of fundamentals. The ability to connect on stage, to tell a good story, to pause.
I knew that was coming.
You know, these are skills, you know, that I've worked on. And I very rarely say, but if I said, who cares? If I'm pacing back and forth on the stage a little bit, who cares? Lion or tigers in a cage pace back and forth, but they're still so compelling, aren't they?
Absolutely.
So these coaches, these, you know, I love Toastmasters, but these Toastmasters are telling you, how many times do you say, you pace too much? Who cares? You get out there and you deliver the love. You deliver the passion, right? That's a fundamental. It's who you are. And that's what people want. People want real more than ever. They're seeing all the plastic on TV.
Right.
And all the garbage on the internet and the news. They want real. Once you connect with real, and it's risky. Real is risky. But you may alienate 10, 15, 20%. Maybe 20% of them are going to be like, it didn't make a difference for me. But maybe that 40% or 20% or maybe 10% are going to be your champions, Des, because they're like, man, that guy was real. And Kelly, she just really talked from the heart, and she made really practical sense for me.
Right.
You want those cheerleaders, those passionate, loyal fans. You can't connect with all of them. You know, and that's the thing that I try to do. And that goes back to the mint chocolate chip thing that I went
about. Yeah, I was hoping we'd get better grant to that.
So you can't be vanilla or chocolate anymore. You can't be a vanilla or chocolate speaker out there. Many of you like are doing the same thing. How's everybody doing today? Well, today we're going to talk about this and blah, blah, blah. Hey,
can we have more time? Can we give this man another hour?
So if you're going to be a vanilla and chocolate, you better be the best. You better be Breyers, all natural vanilla. And there's vanilla and chocolate speakers out there. Mark Sanborn, the best chocolate speaker out there. You can't compete. Jim Cathcart, best vanilla speaker. Naomi Rhodey, whatever. And I don't mean to insult them. They're classic. They've been out there for a while. They own vanilla and chocolate. You got to own your flavor.
Wow.
You got to pick that flavor. For me, it's mint chocolate chip. I am the best mint chocolate chip speaker. If you don't like mint chocolate chip, don't even go there. You're going to go to my website. It's going to be mint chocolate chip, fighter pot, wingman, trust, you know, military, compassion, all those things. If that's not for you, then click on somebody else. But if you like mint chocolate chip or have any inkling that you're interested in trying it, once it's in your mouth, you won't go anywhere else. So, and that means there's a certain market that will definitely not like me. You got to like that flavor.
Wow.
So be mint chocolate chip or mocha almond fudge or
okay,
whatever
I'm claiming chocolate raspberry truffle, just so everybody
there
knows.
There you have it. Wow. There you have it. And I love ice cream. It's my downfall. It's 90% of the reason why I work out. That's why I need ice cream. But that to me, that comes to my mind because I love ice cream. It's relevant. It's good to me. It makes sense to me. Don't grab garbage from everybody else. Think about what inspires you in your own life. You know, I love animals. I love music. I love dogs. You know, whatever it takes. Be who you are. People will connect.
Wow. So I guess one of the things that balances some of the sacrifice that you have to make as a speaker is you get to travel the world. And so we'll end on a good note and ask you, where is the most interesting place you've ever traveled in your speaking journey?
Oh, wow. So I was in South Africa a few years ago. I spoke at a big sales group. I did like 3 or 4 seminars for a company called Sales Guru Magazine. It was a referral, by the way, from a friend of mine who had built relationships over the years, Brian Parsley, great guy, out of Charlotte. And so it was wonderful there. I got to travel there. It was great. And went on a safari. I actually took my twin brother Dave with me.
Wow.
You know, I love bringing my brother. I just took my wife and son to England, which was absolutely phenomenal. I did a couple of programs out there, last-minute program, previous client. And but South Africa was phenomenal, and I got out there into the culture. I like to get into the bowels of the city. I don't go to the Hard Rock Cafe when I'm there. And same thing when I was in China, when I was in the military. I like seeing that. So that was really cool. Got to go on a safari. I like speaking overseas. I'm speaking overseas a little bit more. I don't push the market. I let the market come to me and then leverage and try to get in there. I'm doing fine domestically. But I'd love to go go overseas a little bit more, maybe speak in Asia, which would be really cool. I lived overseas in Asia, in Korea for a year. It would be great to go back and speak there.
Wow. Well, I guess we have to wrap this interview up at this time. I think Waldo is the first guest that we have where we really could have asked one question, and this man could have filled the entire hour. So we definitely appreciate the energy. We appreciate the time. Know that you're a very busy man and about to leave here to get on a flight today. So we appreciate you paying it forward as you're known to do.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that I certainly think about when it comes to you. To everyone out there, thank you for joining us for another edition of Speaking Insights. Waldo, would you like to share with our guests where they can find you if they're interested in hearing more about you and the wingman philosophy?
Roger that. Yeah, my website's yourwingman.com, or Google Waldo Waldman. Look at the videos. You should be Googling any other speaker that you're interested in. Find out what they do. Model their success. Look at how I do my website. Look at my demo videos. Sign up for my newsletter and see how I do my business that way. And then if you go to info@yourwingman.com, you can email me there as well. But listen, leaders lift, right? You guys are lifters. You're not draggers. You showed up. You invested. You're leaders in NSA Georgia. You're leaders in life. You're great human beings. And I love working with you, and I'm thankful that you asked me to share some of my wing tips with NSA Georgia and any other listener out there. So excited to fly with you, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you again very much. And this is a compilation of Business Radio X and NSA Georgia. And, of course, you can find us at nsageorgia.org on the web. And we meet every third Saturday out in Smyrna, so please come out and see us. Special thank you to our producer, Mrs. Tricia Malloy, who keeps us all in line and gets us great guests like Waldo Wallman. So thank you, Tricia. And until next time, we're signing off. We'll see you guys again.